I am a little nervous, but that's all right. That's part of it. Good to have all of our guests here at Apostolic Lighthouse. Good to have guests with the Powell family. Good to have you. We're so glad you're in service with us. Amen. Thank y'all for being here. And I didn't wreck this young man walking around here in a suit. Y'all know who that is? Amen. He's not a guest at Apostolic Lighthouse, but he looks sharp today, and I'm proud to see that. So, amen. We're so thankful you're here. I want to give honor where honor is due. I want to give honor to my pastor and Sister Crosswhite in their absence for allowing me to be able to preach the Word of God while they are gone. I do thank them and count it an honor to be able to be behind this desk delivering the Word of the Lord to you. And so if we could all stand as we go before the Lord, amen, in His Word. Turn to Isaiah. Chapter number 6 and verse number 8. Isaiah 6 and verse 8. I'll try to slow it down for Sister Savala to interpret. I know sometimes I just take off. When you got it, say amen. Amen. Isaiah 6 and verse 8. It says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. Would you pray? Lord Jesus, I love you. I thank you, God, for your word. I thank you for this opportunity, God, to come and deliver what you've given me. Lord, I ask you, God, to bless this service, bless this time. But we thank you, God, that we could come together and worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Brother Brian hit all over it. I thought I was just going to let him go ahead and take it and preach it, talking about reaching out and you know, we need, the end time that we're in, and we need to get out and bring people to church. And Brother Brian was touching all over what I had to preach tonight. And so, Brother Brian, you could have just went with it. That would have been all right, brother. But I want to preach from this thought, answer the call. Answer the call. I'm going to read Isaiah 6 and 8 one more time. It says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Send me. God has given all of us a call, and that's to go and reach the lost. Amen. That's to go and take this gospel into our city. A definition of calling is a strong inner impulse towards a particular course of action, especially when accompanied by conviction or divine influence. In Matthew 28, verse 16 through 20, it says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And we know that name to be Jesus. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. Mark 16 and 20 says, and they went. It didn't say that they sat on their hands and did nothing. It said that they answered the call. It said that they got up and they did something about it. It said, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And God is calling each of us tonight, amen, to accept this call, amen, to go out and to teach and to preach, amen, and to bring people to come, amen, to this house. It's more than just behind a pulpit that the word should come. It's more than just in this church that the word should come, but the word should be in your house in a Bible study. The word should be at your job, amen, in a break room in a Bible study. The word should be with you always. Always. Just as Jesus charged the disciples to go to all the nation, teaching and preaching this gospel to reach souls, God has called you and I to do the same. It's the Great Commission. Amen. He's called us, amen, to go out, amen, and reach the lost. And God has called you and I to do the same. He has called us to reach our neighbors. I'm trying to remember. Slow down, Sister Savala. Amen. He's called us to reach our neighbors, to reach the person across town, to reach the person at Walmart that's in the line with you, to reach the project kids, even though they're bad. He's called us to reach, amen, to reach into the hood, to reach, amen, the homeless, to reach the drunk, to reach the drug addict. He has called us to reach every soul. Every soul. Luke 14 and 23 says, "And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." Amen. That my house, amen, his house may be filled. It doesn't matter their race, their color, or their creed. He has called us to reach. It doesn't matter, amen, if they look gothic. It doesn't matter if they're tattooed from head to toe. God didn't call you to just say it's for somebody else and not for them. But he called us to reach. He called us to reach that lost person. It doesn't matter if they look like, amen, something off the street. He called you to reach them. He called us to reach the lost. We've heard pastor tell the story about the homosexual couple in Whataburger that was drinking out of the same cup, sharing their meal. And God said, "Hey, I want you to go and talk to them." Pastor answered the call. It doesn't matter what they look like. They need Jesus. It doesn't matter their lifestyle. They need Jesus. God will fix that. All you got to do is answer the call to invite them. All you got to do is answer, amen, what God is wanting you to do, and that's giving them an invite. And just by pastor answering that call, amen, he stopped something that was happening, because that young man was a backslider fixing to go into a relationship with another young man that he knew was not right. And God, amen, reached down into that soul. What if pastor would have ignored what God had him to do? But pastor didn't know. He had him reach down, amen, and talk to that young man. And God saved that soul, amen, just by us being willing to listen to the call of God. Amen. Praise God. And we're living in the last days, and things are winding up. We see wars and rumors of war. We see signs of the time. We see Israel at war. But even with all these things going on around us, even with the turmoil and different things happening, amen, now's not the time to give up, but it's time that we answer the call. That we answer the call. It's not time to get lazy and let up, but it's time to answer the call and take up arms and to reach out to our city. Amen. There are lost souls, amen, that need Jesus. There are lost souls that need to hear what we have. There are lost souls, amen, that need this truth. They're your loved ones, amen, that need this truth. They're your family, your friends, your people on the job that need to hear this truth. And we don't need to get lazy and just let up and let the enemy have his way, because things seem to be getting bad. But we need to fight even harder. We need to fight even more. We need to answer the call. Amen. We need to answer the call that God has placed on us. Each and every one of us are called to share this gospel. Who are we to keep it to ourselves when somebody shared it with me? Oh, I was lost, and God, amen, sent somebody to give me this truth. How thankful I am for them sharing it to me. And let me tell you something, if you've got this truth, somebody out there needs to hear it. Somebody out there needs it. And how thankful they'll be for you sharing with them this truth that God has given you. It's time that we answer the call. There is an old famous character that the government has used, and he would get people to answer a call to go to the military and things, and his name was Uncle Sam. famous for getting people to enlist in the military, he would use the words or the quote, "I want you. I want you to join the army," or "I want you to do this." And they would answer that call because he was a very convincing individual in his time. And they still use his picture, the logos, and the quotes or whatever for that. But more than just a government man saying, "I want you," you have Jesus calling. And he's saying, "I want you. I want you to answer the call." It's not about an army of men, amen, in this world, but we're joining the army of God. And he's calling you and he's saying, "I want you, amen, I want you. I want you to answer this call." Amen. Amen. God is calling us, saying, "I want you." There's another quote that he would say, and that was, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country." I wonder if we change the words a little bit and worded it like this: ask not what God could do for you, but what you could do for God. Because when you take care of what's God's and you put him first, he will take care of your needs. He will take care of your wants. When you put God first, amen, and you do what God wants, don't worry about the things that are going on in you. Hey, somebody said it like this the other day. I was listening to a message, and he said, "Hey, when you go out and reach those that are lost, when you go out and teach a Bible study, God's going to go to your house, and he's going to begin to help those loved ones that you've been working on, and he's going to begin to help those lost ones that are there." Amen. When you go out and teach a Bible study, amen, God will get that lost son. When you go out and teach, amen, somebody the word, what the word of the Lord has to say, amen, God will go and work on the other end for you. Amen. God will take care of you. Amen. I want to challenge you today to answer the call. To answer the call. Amen. It's time that we answer the call. We find in Matthew 4, 18 through 22, it says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him." They answered the call. Reading verse 21, it says, "And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left their ship and their father and followed him." They didn't say, "Oh, Jesus, let me handle some things here, and then I'll come." They didn't say, "Oh, Lord, let me get this taken care of, and a week from now I'll meet you in this other place here." No. It said they answered that call. They straightway, amen, left what they were doing, and they answered what God had for them to do. Amen. We don't need to get caught up in the things of this world, but we need to listen to the voice of God. And when he's calling us to do something, amen, we need to stand up and do it. Just as Peter and Andrew and James and John answered the call, we need to answer the call, amen, just like they did. It didn't say they wasted time or told Jesus, amen, "I'll catch up with you in a week or so." But it said immediately they answered. Amen. We don't need to wait another day to answer the call. We need to start reaching the lost immediately. We need to start reaching the lost now. This is the day of salvation. Don't worry about how they look or their lifestyle. Just reach. And let God do the rest. Amen. And let God do the rest. Invite them to church. Show them that you care. There's a quote that says, "People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care." And it's true. Let's bind together and answer the call and reach out to our city. Let's reach out to Nacogdoches. Let's reach out beyond our city. Amen. We're called to reach. It doesn't matter where you are. If you're in a restaurant, reach. If you're on the job, reach. If you're at home, reach. If you're in another country, reach. There are people crying out in desperation for help that need this truth. They need this truth. Let's take this truth to to the hungry and the hurting. Let's take this truth to the drunk and the drug head. Let's reach out to our neighbor. Let's reach out to our family. Let's reach out to the lost. Who are we to tell somebody that they can and can't have what God has for them? We can't be the one to pick and choose who gets this gospel. No, no, no. It's not our job to pick and choose. It's not our job to say, oh, I'm going to invite them. And not. Oh, it's our job to reach. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what they look like, where their background is. It's our job to reach. And God has called us, amen, to answer this call to reach our city. Amen. There's another call that he's called us. And I know there's guests here, and I want to pull this out. God has called us, amen, to an altar of repentance. In 2 Peter 3 and 9, says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men as some men count slackness, but in long suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God has called every one of us to an altar of repentance. And if this is your first time to be in an apostolic service, let me tell you something, and you've never experienced what God has, there's more to salvation than just accepting the Lord as your personal Savior. There's more to salvation than just repeating a prayer. And I don't want to push down or talk about any experience you've had. That's great, but God has more for you. It's great that you've done those things, but God has more for you. And we've got to come to an altar of repentance. And we've got to repent of our sins. In Acts 2:38, we read it and we quote, it says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That first, amen, one is repent. We've all got to come to an altar of repentance. What does repent mean? Simply put, it's a change of heart, mind, and direction. We've got to change the way we were going, the things we were thinking, and the old things that we used to do and love. We've got to stop walking in darkness and begin to walk, amen, in his marvelous light. We've got to turn from sin, amen, and turn to him. We've got to turn, amen, from those things that are dragging us down, that are pulling us lower. And we've got to begin to look up and say, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I need your hand in my life. God, I'm tired of being sick and tired of the things of in my past. I'm tired of living, Lord, a life of sin. But God, I want to come to an altar of repentance. I want to lay these things down at this altar, God. I want to give my life to you. Amen. He's called us all to an altar of repentance. I'm so glad that I could come and my sins be forgiven, amen, at the altar of repentance, and my sins be washed away in baptism. That's the second step. God has called us, amen, to be baptized. It's not just repenting, but we have to be baptized. Nicodemus asked Jesus, how can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter into his mother's womb for a second time? Of course not. He said he had to be born of the water, meaning baptism, and of the Spirit, which is the Holy Ghost, and we'll touch on that. And so we have to be baptized. We have to repent. We have to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Many people will use this scripture that I used in my text in Matthew 28:19, and it says, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. But when you look there, the name is singular. Meaning they're talking about one person. It's not plural. They're not talking about three different people. I am a husband, I'm an uncle, and I'm a brother. And if I was to sign Thomas a check today, and I put on there husband, uncle, and brother, would the bank cash it? Of course not. Those are simply my titles on a check. Until my name is applied, that check means nothing. But when my name is applied, there's financial backing. That means there's some money in the account, hopefully. And in baptism, amen, I don't want his titles applied. It says in the name. And in Acts 2:38, it gives you that name. It says in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, for the washing away. So we've got to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Anywhere you see in the Word of God, they were always baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They went down into the water. Also, when we baptize, we don't believe in sprinkling. We don't believe in pouring just a glass of water on somebody's head and that's enough. No, it says they went down into the water. Baptized in the Greek is baptizo, which means to submerge, immerse, to fully put them under. And that's what has to happen. It's a representation of a death, burial, and resurrection. You're going down, amen, that old man, and he's being buried in a watery grave. And you're coming up a new man with a new name applied in your life. And that name is Jesus. The next thing is you need to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And when God comes in, when the Lord comes in on the inside, there's going to be something that happens. You're going to begin to speak in another language. And that's a sign of the Holy Ghost. Anywhere you see in the Word of God, somebody received the Holy Ghost, it says that they spoke in tongues. And if you want more scripture after service, get with me and I'll break it down for you some more. But when the Holy Ghost fell, they all began to speak with other tongues, just like they did on the day of Pentecost, just like we're doing today, just like it's done in other countries. Amen. When you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, you're going to begin to speak with other tongues, just like they did, amen, in the Bible, and just like we do now. And God wants that for you. It's a gift. It's a gift he wants to give you. It's a promise. It's to you, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. And when we get the Holy Ghost, we don't believe in once saved, always saved, so I don't believe either. And once you get the Holy Ghost, you're done either. A lot of people will go off that. We don't do that. Pastor will tell you, that Holy Ghost is your birth certificate, not your diploma. And so if we don't believe in once saved, always saved, we don't believe once you got the Holy Ghost, you're good, and that's all you need to do. No, no, no. It takes a relationship. It takes a relationship. Amen. When I got married to my wife and said I do, it didn't end there. I signed the contract, got it, guys, yeah, the license. No, it didn't stop there. No, it takes a relationship. It takes work. And when God fills you with the gift of the Holy Ghost, it takes work. Amen. You're going to have to work on your relationship with him. You're going to have a prayer life. You're going to have a prayer talk, a walk. Amen. You're going to have to fast and pray and read your word. Amen. That's building that relationship with God. And so I want to encourage you today, amen, to build your relationship with him. Just because you got the Holy Ghost doesn't mean that's it. Amen. Grow in your relationship with God. So I want to challenge you today to answer the call. God has called us, each and every one of us. He's called each and every one of us. It doesn't matter your age. He's called you. He's called you to reach. And I want us to accept that call. I don't want to go to heaven empty-handed. I don't want to go. I don't know that you can go to heaven empty-handed. I know that's tough, but God has called us to reach. God has called us to reach, and it's our responsibility to reach our mission field. And you're in it. You're in this mission field with me. Let's bind together, and let's answer the call. And let's battle for our city. Let's fight for our loved ones. Let's fight for our community. Let's fight for our neighbor. Let's fight for those project kids. Let's fight, amen, for the drug head. Let's fight for those at the jail. Let's fight for the ones that need Jesus. Everybody needs Jesus. Let's just, amen, let's answer this call. Amen. And let's ask God, amen, to use us to reach the lost. I wonder if you could stand, and as you do, amen, that person that's coming to your mind, that person that you want to reach to, that person that you want to go out and invite to church, I wonder if you can begin to pray with them. I wonder if you can begin to pray for them. I wonder if you can ask God to use you, amen, to reach the lost, to reach them. We don't need to be lazy in reaching the lost. We don't need to sit on our hands, but we need to reach out. Amen to those that are lost.
Could you pray, God, put a greater burden in me? We need a greater burden. We need a greater desire. And there is a desire. There is. But our prayer should continually be, God, put a greater burden. Help me to reach more. Give me a greater capacity to be able to reach this world. If we don't do it, who's going to do it? If we do not shoulder the responsibility, who is going to do it? So with me today, would you reach out to the Lord and let's pray and ask God for a greater burden. God, place that burden in my heart. God, place that burden on me, Jesus, to reach. God, give me a realization. Give me an understanding of the day in which we live, Jesus. Help me to see. Open my eyes, God. Open my understanding. God, give me wisdom to reach, Jesus. Give me the words to say. God, let those that I come in contact with feel your presence. God, let those that I am connected with sense you in me, Jesus. God, place that burden in my life to reach, God, to reach the hearts, God, to reach those souls that are searching, to reach those that are lost, God. Put that burden in me, Jesus. Help me to reach, Jesus. Help me to reach, Jesus. Help me to reach, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We don't know when that time will come, when that door will be shut. No man knows the hour. No man knows the day. And I hate to think of the frenzy, the fear of those that remain. And so it is my duty, it is my responsibility to reach out as much as I can. I might not be able, every person that I see in Walmart, I might not be able to stop and give everybody a Bible study right there. But I can be a light. And I can pray and say, God, lead me to somebody. God, show me who you see is ready. God, would you lead me, help me to connect and being available, answering that call. God has called us to be available. And so when I'm out, I want to be available. I want God to be able to say, hey, that one right there. And to be able to reach and talk and to just be open and to be that light. That's what God has called us to be, a light. Amen. Amen. And so as you live life, don't just live it for you. Live your life for God, but live your life for somebody else. Let that light shine, be that living epistle for somebody so that we can take somebody with us when we go to the other side. Amen. I wonder tonight if we could give the Lord a great big hand clap of praise. I love you, Jesus. Oh, I love you, Jesus. 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 Love you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Brother Zach. But following the Holy Ghost, God has a call for us. God has a call for us. Amen. I just want to answer that call. And so this week, find somebody to reach to, find somebody to connect with, and be somebody's help, be somebody's lifeline. Amen. Amen. Look at your neighbor, shake somebody's hand in the presence of the Lord. Thankful to have everybody here. Please continue to keep Pastor and his family in your prayers. And let's go to heaven. How? Together. You are dismissed.